You mentioned it. We'll get to the Jets coming up in about 15 minutes or so. You mentioned it about Jackson Dart, and we teased it before the break. You know, for me, it's the only thing left. Like, it's the only thing left to determine what Brian Daboll is definitively. If Shane and Daboll can draft and develop their quarterback in Jackson Dart, then it could change the entire outlook of the franchise moving forward. And if not, that's it. They're toast. Like, I don't need another year to evaluate it. It's got to happen this year. I'm not saying it's got to happen in week two. I would not do that myself because I don't think that's conducive to developing Jackson Dart the right way. I would stick to the plan as long as they could. We had Baldy on a week ago. We'll have him on, I think, tomorrow and every Tuesday moving forward so we could ask him more about it. He had said week five initially. He thought that...
That's the Saints game.
Yeah, I thought that was too early. But, I mean, we were talking about... I wasn't thinking worst case scenario right out of the gate. If the Giants lose the next 3 weeks, which is very possible,
mm-hmm.
I mean, then I think you with each loss, the calls are going to get louder and louder and louder
yeah.
for Jackson Dart. My thing is, if I'm Shane and Daboll, or Daboll specifically, I'm waiting, BT, till I know when it's definitively the right move and I'm firing my last salvo to prove that I deserve to stay with the New York Giants.
Okay, so the reason you deploy Dart is solely for, like, job or self-preservation?
No, it's for, to me, he's got to show that. And mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm not alone. Like, I guarantee you, nobody's happy about what they saw yesterday.
Yep.
Why would we expect that to change? I think the hope is going to be that it could change. I wouldn't expect it to change. What I'm saying is, if I'm Daboll, I wouldn't do it. Like, I'm not doing it now. Like, oh, crap, I got to save my job. I wouldn't do it until I know he's ready.
Yep.
And then when I do deploy that, now it's here
okay,
we go.
Okay, I got gotcha. You. And then that's a parachute to a softer landing, potentially, if he looks good, which I think he's going to. I'm not playing him for a while. See, the noise, and it's going to be pretty loud on the station today. There's been some juice, really, the last month or so because he had a very good summer. So I get it. I think the Jackson Dart's going to be good. I really do. I'm looking forward to watching him play eventually. But the reasoning to me is not logical, nor is it sound enough, because I hear a lot of people say, including people who do this for a living in terms of former players, well, he's a better athlete than Russ at this point, so he can work around the patchwork offensive line. That's the last reason why I'm playing him.
Right.
So let me get this straight. You're going to throw him out there and have him run around and get popped by linebackers and safeties coming up in the box, and not to mention defensive ends, when he's not necessarily, like, truly ready, you don't do that. It's counterproductive, it's dangerous, and it's dumb. Now, this also goes back to the conversation. Now, we don't know exactly what was said, but you and I both thought, to varying degrees, but kind of on the same page, that at some point, Mara told Daboll and Shane, hey, listen, You don't have to play him to save. Like, there's no guaranteed win total. Like, that's what we kind of surmised
going
was said going into
yeah.
the season. Because if you allow them to draft a quarterback and then you in the first round, and then you don't bring him back in 2026, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
So I don't think that they've got to win six games or eight games or to keep their job. But I hope that that's true, because if they rush this kid out there the way the old line is, that kid will get ruined.
And I don't think they will rush him despite the calls. What I'm saying is, it was so ugly yesterday that now, it's no more, oh, let's see what Daboll can do with a different non-Daniel Jones
yeah.
quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I've already made my decision based on what I've seen for 3 years plus yesterday and plus what Daniel Jones did, plus what Saquon Barkley's done. Like, there's enough evidence to say this guy may not be the guy we thought he was, but there's one thing that could save him. The proper, A, Shane has to draft the proper quarterback. B, the proper development of that quarterback. Now, does that mean that it's going to be week five? Does it mean it's going to be week 10? That, to me, though, that would be the one thing. If I'm evaluating Brian Daboll,
yep.
This is ugly. It may get uglier in the mm-hmm. coming weeks,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to make a definitive final end decision on this regime until I see what they can do with Jackson.
I think that that's fair. I really do. I think that that's a good way to look at it, because this man's an offensive, you know, coach, a quarterback background, and to not give him a quarterback of his own volition and then ultimately judge him on the job that he does, to me, seems very unfair and stupid. But listen,
I know, dude.
Here's the one thing that can't happen, Sal. Like, if let's say they get roasted by Dallas. I don't think they will because Dallas' defense is not that good. I think the Giants will move the ball, so I think that this will be stabilized a little bit, so the noise will be muted a little bit going into week three. I don't know if they'll win, but I think that the offense will score some touchdowns.
Better matchup, certainly, than Jaden Daniels as well, even though Dak, I know, played really well.
Yeah, he looked slower. 32, the bad foot injury a couple years back.
If the Giants can't get, and we could obviously break down this game as the week goes on here, but if the Giants' defense doesn't look more impactful and they can't score against Cowboys in week two, then
it's going to have a different tenor to the noise, which will be a different discussion next week. But what I was going to say was, what you can't risk here, back to Dart, and I just say that I think they'll score points against Dallas because I don't think you'll have to pull Russ after the Dallas game because I think he'll do okay. That's why I even said that, right? Not to necessarily break down the game. But if you go, or when you go to Jackson Dart, and if he's swimming, and if he doesn't look good, and then you have to pull him, then that might be worse for Daboll.
Well, that's why I say you can't do that. And I was like this before they played a game. You cannot go to Jackson Dart until you know that, okay, here we go. This is his show now. There is no like...
How do you know that?
Well,
how do you really know?
You've got to know it. And it's got to be the right decision. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't do that in week two.
Yeah, no way.
I wouldn't do it in week three. Like me,
I wouldn't do it in September.
Here's what I would do. Right. Me personally, I would say, okay, I think he's ready. And then I let him sit for another 3 weeks. Like... That's how extremely cautious I would be with this.
What about sub packages just to get his feet wet a little bit here?
Really? Remember, there was a lot of talk about that leading up to. I'm not saying that there can't be a single spot in a game. Mm-hmm. The Falcons did this many years ago with Michael Vick and Chris Chandler. Chris Chandler was the starting quarterback. Vick, they drafted, you know, whatever. They traded up to get him. And I remember them using him occasionally before eventually turning it over to him to be the starter. I think it was the year after, but it might have been later in the year. Whatever. So I'm not opposed to that. Other teams have done this too, but that's just one example that comes to mind with a young quarterback. Get him some packages. I'm not opposed to it. I wouldn't make that the priority. Clearly, they didn't yesterday. They had packages for him, but they didn't think it was the right spot, and they were right. It was not. Do not put him out there in that spot.
On the road.
I'm more concerned about just developing him the right way. It could be week 10. It could be week 11. That's what I was looking at when we did the schedule. It could be, you know, against the Commanders after the bye week. Like, there's a lot of spots down the road. Mm-hmm. But I also did not think it was going to be this ugly. I did not think we were going to see the same thing we saw for the last 3 years here, or 2 years.
Neither did I, but that's why I'm trying to get some separation between those who think Russell Wilson was atrocious and my opinion, which is, you know, what did you expect? I mean, there wasn't much in front of him. They had five drops, and he was running for his life. So I'm not saying Russell Wilson played well. I'm just trying to put in context what I thought was a little easier to explain away than some want to give Russ credit for.
Peter's in Manhattan. What's up, Peter?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. First-time caller. Appreciate you guys for taking my call.
Nice.
Thank you.
Listen, the Giants make me sick to my stomach watching them. They didn't play competitive football at all. Forget about winning the game. They didn't play competitive at all. And, Sal, you said before that the one constant is Jaden Daboll. Along with them, it's the Mara ownership group. They don't know how to run a football team. They're completely clueless. They're completely clueless. How do you have family members run the personnel department? This is what happens when nepotism runs a sports organization. And if the Cowboys blow out the Giants, which they most likely will on Sunday, you can bet the bank that the planes are going to be flying high above MetLife, baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, Peter, and I understand the frustration. Oh, I mean, man. It's not like this ownership hasn't had the ultimate success.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean,
So they should get the benefit of the doubt. And, God, they've tried. They've just done it the wrong way. They've tried to stay within the organization, whether with McAdoofus or whatever it may be. They go get a veteran guy in Gettleman who was familiar with the organization. We could defend them. And by the way, we could defend them. You could call and criticize them. They're not going anywhere. Like, the Mariners own the team. That's why I always had an issue, even when it was with the Mets and, sell the team. Like, to me, that's the lowest form of sports arguments or commentating you could do. Sell the team.
That doesn't mean that we're wrong, though. Yeah. Hey, Woody, sell the team. Yeah. Hey, Wilpon, sell the team.
I know, but
hey,
like,
Dolan, for 20 years, sell the team.
Okay, but then when they don't for 30 years or whatever, and Dolan's a great example of why it's not necessarily the right way to do things.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And even with the Mets, it's not like they didn't have some success over. I just feel like it's always the, well, we tried everything else. It's the owner. They have to be the problem. Like,
Well, it's not, of course, it's not just Mara's fault, but there's a lot of commonality. I forget it, not just Mara, but just ownership in general. Like, when you have a bad team like the Knicks were before Thibodeau came, that's 20 years of evidence that Dolan didn't know what the hell he was doing. And then they stumbled upon a fixer in Thibodeau who changed the culture.
Well, now, I mean, he hired Leon Rose. Dolan tried, whether it's Phil Jackson.
Oh, he tried. Yeah. No, no. And by the way,
he's just hiring the wrong guys.
Well, that's true. And that's different than like maybe the Mets going 50% on free agency with Wilpon.
That's different.
Well,
right.
That's what
right,
I mean. There's right. So not all quote-unquote bad ownership is the same. You know, some are cheap, some are stupid, some are just absentee, some are whatever. Right. I don't think that Giants ownership is stupid. I don't think that they're cheap. I just don't think that they've evolved with the league the way the rest of the league has evolved, because the evidence tells us that the Giants are playing or trying to play a brand of football that was played in the 70s and the 80s, and they stink at it.
Here's my issue, though, with this particular argument. Of course you could get on ownership. Like, I would get on them for Gettleman, and I would get on them for forcing the hand with Daniel Jones. Did anybody really think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were awful hires at the time?
No, we lauded them for leaving the going outside of the Giants organization, which they were always reluctant to do.
So that's my point. And now in year four, are we looking at Mara saying this is Mara's fault, or are we saying Shane and Daboll have not done their job?
Well, it's a good volley back, and the answer is probably more about Shane and Daboll not doing their job, but because there's been other mistakes before, even though we thought that Shane and Daboll was a good hire by Mara and the Giants. What transpired before that, if they even held on to Jerry Reese too long. Like, we can go chapter and verse about what the way they mismanaged Eli with Geno, like the way Coughlin walked it off the stage and shot them a look that just put lasers through the Giants' body. Like, let's not mince words. The Giants have been a train wreck for a long time.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Speaking of train wrecks for a long time, we'll get to the Jets when we come back.
Your partner's actually kind of happy.
Maybe things are changing.